Hi, it's Caruana Gattimu again, here from the conference floor at SharePoint Conference in Las Vegas. This is SharePoint Conference Television, powered by Channel 9, and I've had some amazing guests today sharing their thought leadership and more interesting information about what's happening out there as this business that we're in is transforming rapidly. I'm happy to have another guest with me here today. This is Becky Bertram. Hi, Becky.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us today. Becky Bertram is with Savvy Technical Solutions in St. Louis. And I'm really happy you're here because you offer a great perspective to some of our small to medium-sized business customers, both from a customer perspective and a technology professional. You know, so that's really great. How long have you been in the SharePoint business?
I started working with Content Management Server back in 2001.
Wow.
So I started working with SharePoint in 2006. So this is pretty much all I eat, live, and breathe.
I know that feeling. And people wonder why we're so enthusiastic about it, right? Absolutely. So I know that you've made some recent changes in your business, and I was wondering, first off, tell us a little bit about Savvy Technical Solutions. What do you guys do?
Sure. We are a custom development shop. So I come from a development background, and so I've written a lot of, coming from Content Management Server, I've done a lot of web content management solutions for a lot of public-facing sites, intranet sites, a lot of them that are sort of newsy-based as well as collaborative-based. And so we do a lot of custom solutions, but I also do a lot of instruction. So I'm a Microsoft certified trainer, and I teach at the local training school in St. Louis as well and do SharePoint classes and education. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just helping customers that when they have SharePoint know, okay, now that I have SharePoint, what do I do with it? Yeah. So just helping them understand that.
Getting the business value out of it has always been part of my sweet spot, and it's still a bit of a challenge, you know. And now, with the additional complexities in our universe, I think there's going to be more and more need for that. So, do you use O365 yourself for your business?
I do, actually, and it's been amazing. I mean, it sounds like I've drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit, and I had a customer the other day that said, you know, no, just give me the honest opinion, not the Microsoft, you know, view. But the truth is, it's helped me as a small business owner. So with my business, before I was paying, it was like $5 a month for just for my www website, and then I had like $8 a month for a WSS site that I had my blog on. And I was paying $8 a month for my Exchange server. And then if I wanted my instant messaging, I was paying another fee for it. And so it does sound like a lot, but it was adding up to be maybe $30 a month, which ended up being like $360 a year or something, which when you're a small business owner, you go, you know, that's a chunk of change just for stuff that was sort of $5 here, $8 there.
It does add up.
So when I ended up getting Office 365, it's great because now I have my public-facing site on it. I have an intranet site. I can collaborate with my clients. I use Link all the time to do meetings with people. I use the voice and audio with them. My Exchange is on there. I can have my blog on there. And so it's been really neat to be able to have, like, kill all these birds with one stone, so to speak. So
that's such a great case study in that because, you know, I do a lot of community charity work and I do the same thing, and it just having it all in one location is pretty helpful. But sometimes in some of the scenarios, there are challenges. You know, you mentioned that you're using the public-facing website. How's that been for you from a small, medium business perspective, right? I'm sure you probably don't have 20 other developers back there that are going to do the work for you. Probably you doing it on the weekend, right?
Right. You know, it's one of those things where I understand Microsoft's perspective that they don't want to have, you know, General Motors putting their public site on Office 365 or something. Right. Obviously, there's when you have a per-user fee, Microsoft knows kind of how many people are using it and the load that's going to take on the server. The thing about public-facing sites is Microsoft doesn't, nobody knows how many people are actually going to hit that. So it's a very unknown. So I understand why Microsoft has taken away a lot of functionality from the public-facing websites just to be able to preserve the integrity of the farm.
Right.
That being said, it is really nice for small businesses to be able to put up a sort of billboard site about their services. And I've been able to do that with my own business as well. And I was able to find ways that out-of-the-box publishing isn't possible, but it is the publishing features. But actually, it is possible to turn those on if we embrace and extend the site. And so I have been able to turn on publishing. And once you do that, there are things like the content search web part is not available on the public site, again, for reasons you can understand load and whatnot. But that being said, you can actually upload, once the publishing has been enabled, you can upload the content query web part and it will still work. And so I've been able to still have a data-driven public-facing website where I can have news stories. Now with SharePoint 2013, I can embed video. I can embed links to like SlideShare and other things where I want to have presentations that I want to present and whatnot. And so it's been really neat to be able to have really a fully fledged site that I can use for my business.
Right. Do you feel like you had to be, would you have been able to do that if you didn't have the development background that you had? So for some of the folks who may be watching her, more business users or admins, did it require you to work in Visual Studio to enable those scenarios?
For my website, it did.
Yes.
So I use the client object model to activate certain features and to make things available. You can't actually create sites like subsites via the browser. Mm. You can in SharePoint Designer in some cases. And then also, I actually provisioned some sites using the client object model to be able to provision those subsites, such as publishing subsites. So for my case, I did need that. However, on a public-facing website, if that's not necessary and you don't necessarily need that, you can use the theming engine. You know, you can upload themes, do that kind
right.
of thing. You can. They really have a nice way of just being able to quickly add links across the top and whatnot. And so you can do a lot really out of the box if really just what you want is sort of a about us, you know, directions, that kind of thing.
Right.
One thing that wasn't immediately obvious to me about that public-facing website is the fact that there used to be on older Office 365 sites, there was sort of a contact us web part.
Right.
Now that the sites have been upgraded to SharePoint 2013, it's not there anymore. So you may go, like, how do we do the contact us? But there's an app now. So if you go to the App Store, you can install the contact us form. And it's actually a provider-hosted app, but it's essentially an access form. You can customize it, put your own fields in there and that kind of thing. So when users submit it, they can submit questions to you. Mm. And so there's some nice stuff built in now that even if you're not a developer, you can add some stuff, functionality to the site to make it helpful.
That's great. Say I love this job because I get to learn things. I sit here and I learn all day long. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So that's really helpful because a lot of people don't have experience in the public-facing site. And so a lot of those gotchas you just mentioned, they would have all had to learn the hard way, right? Absolutely.
Another thing is the fact that by default, your public-facing website is going to have a name that's going to be whatever domain you set up with Office 365-public.sharepoint.com.
Right.
The problem is your search results are all going to have that URL in there.
Yes.
And so I've actually, what you can do is go into SharePoint Designer, and if you can modify the display templates, you can actually go in and modify what that prefix is that shows up. So I was able to put the www in there, and so when they get redirected, they actually are still staying on your www site. Instead of, it's a little awkward having the sort of non-friendly URL showing up there in the search results. So that's another thing that you can do with SharePoint Designer.
That's brilliant. And for those of us who are kind of SEO mavens, all right, having that URL was always a little bit difficult in terms of having to manage it from an SEO standpoint. So being able to change that is really helpful. Because the whole purpose of having content is people being able to find it, right? Discoverability is key. So if they can't find it or you can't promote yourself appropriately with it, then that's really important. So now, do you, that's your public-facing site, but what about what you do with your customers? Has O365 changed that?
Absolutely it has. It used to be before, a lot of times they do project-based work, and of course if you're paying like a per-user license fee, you're not going to want to pay a user license fee for external users in an extranet kind of scenario. And so what's been revolutionary for me for Office 365 is I can create subsites for each of my clients. I can share that subsite. I can lock down permissions, so they're really only getting access for my customers to that one subsite I've created for them. I can do the custom branding for that subsite where I put their logo up there and colors if I want and whatnot.
Right.
And so they have their own private portal. And I'll usually set up, you know, an issues, like a one of those issues list with a tracker on it. So I can say, I need this deliverable from you on this date. I'm going to do this on this date. We can set up calendars. We can really have a sort of a project portal. But the great thing is the fact that it's secure. I can force them to log in. I don't have to force them to log in if I really, if it's a document I just want to share out, they don't even have to log in if I say that it's sort of anonymously available as long as you have that URL. The fact that, again, I don't have to pay a fee for them to use it. They can just get to it and access it is really phenomenal.
That's
it's
huge.
Been great.
For me, success with customers comes about from many ways, but also specifically about setting expectations and having good communication. So I imagine this has changed that a little bit for your customer base.
It's great because, again, you can say, you know, I'm expecting this by this time and that by that time. And, again, if you can do calendar integration and whatnot, if you have the calendar, these are when our meetings are going to be scheduled, they can open up, as long as they have access to it, they can open up Outlook and sync that up with their calendar. And all this stuff that we normally associate with collaborative work is just
right.
Great because it's now being able to happen you know, with customers. And what's great for me as well is this is all based on my own experience of using it for my company.
It's
I use it
world.
To keep track of expense reports and, you know, contracts and whatnot. So I use it for my own business. And what's great is then when small businesses come in and they ask me, you know, help. I had a customer actually just this week, and she said, you know, she's a small business working out of her basement. Basically, she's a growing woman-owned business as well, like myself. And she said, you know, my husband did the research. He's sort of my IT team right now. I'm not an IT person.
Right.
He picked out Office 365, but I have someone who works for me. And she said that file shares are the way to go. They're just so much easier. Why are we doing Office 365?
File shares. I love that. But it's true. Some people really still think that that's the way to go. And, of course, there's lots of competition out there in the collaboration space. We're not the only game in town. I do believe that we're the full end-to-end package that is truly integrated with world-class security. But of course,
right.
I believe that, right? So what did you tell her? How did your experience influence what you were going to tell that customer?
What was great is I said to her exactly what I just told you, and I said, you know what? She said, there are a couple scenarios she needed help with. Boy, I've got like a three-person team, but we're always working together on documents. I said, you know what? You can now co-author in Office 365. Isn't that phenomenal?
Yes.
You're not emailing copies of documents around. And then she said, but I want to attach a document. And I said, well, number one, you can just send a link if you've given them access and you're not emailing documents around. You now have versioning. You have check-in, check-out. I was like, if you want to have a copy to mail around, you now have the sync ability. If you really are more comfortable in the Windows Explorer environment, just click the sync button. You can sync it up. So there's a number of ways that we're able to solve a problem. And I said, there's really nothing that you can't do that's not made available for you here. Plus the fact that, again, I was saying, I do this with my clients. You're doing the exact same thing with your clients
right.
that I do with my clients.
Exactly.
It's a common scenario. And so it's neat. I feel like even though I've been doing SharePoint development for a long time, typically, especially in the web content management space, my clients tend to be Fortune 100. I mean, big companies typically do the web content management. And so it's been really fun for me sort of to get in touch with the users, really at the user base now in a way I didn't
before. I was just going to ask you about that because as you were sharing that woman's scenario, I was thinking about how, you know, some of these common tasks that we take for granted that we want to do in new and interesting ways, we still have to share that scenario with people, right? And sometimes I think we forget, speaking for myself, in the bubble, right? I'm in the bubble
right.
of the SharePoint world. You forget how actual users, what they're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
So has this transition brought you closer to them? What's happened there?
Definitely. It really makes me think more about the user experience. And again, having to use it for my own business, now I'm aware of what impression is this giving to my external clients and how is it easy for them. So even though a lot of my clients are using SharePoint, a lot of times SharePoint is the first time they're implementing it in their organization. And so in a good way, by me setting up a team site, I'm sort of taking them in baby steps through of saying, all right, if you and I can figure out how to collaborate together on your SharePoint project, then it's going to make for a successful SharePoint project in your organization, because I'm introducing you to the concept of it. So it's been really fun. It's been really satisfying.
It's very satisfying. And, you know, you hear through themes throughout this conference, and as the conference content continues, collaboration, communication leads us to be able to have better business value and accelerate our business. And I don't know that anybody isn't trying to accelerate in one way or the other. It may be an overused word, but for me, it's very real. I need to get more done with less. I need to be more effective with the people I network with. I need to have more social aspect to the way that I work. Right?
Yes.
Do you see that out there as well?
Yes, absolutely. And again, like you say, the external sharing is phenomenal, especially for small businesses. But again, that social aspect, that's another thing when I'm instructing with people. I tell them, you know, I remember back in the day when companies locked down AOL Instant Messenger because they're like, oh no, people are going to do instant messaging. Right. They're going to talk about what they had for lunch. And now any corporation assumes that instant message is like that's a critical way of connecting with people.
Absolutely.
And I said the same thing. We have this idea that, oh my goodness, we have Facebook-like technology and people are going to share with each other what they had for lunch. You know, and it's the same thing. But I'm like, gee, you know, it again comes back to it's not the technology, it's a problem. If you have people that are off task, you've got a personnel problem and a business problem, but it's really not the technology. And
that's right.
What I think is phenomenal, I mean, it's so simple but yet so powerful, is the fact that I can now follow documents. Before, when we had the concept of alerts, it meant that how annoying is it to get emails every single time? I mean, that can be just get in the way of your life, especially if you have it on your mobile device and you're like, oh my goodness, that could just get really overpowering. But I love the fact that with a news feed, it's a passive way of being able to catch up on information. I mean, the great thing we love about Facebook is, you know, maybe you logged on after a day, or maybe you've been on vacation, it's been a week. You go and just see everything you missed in the last week, but you can do it on your own time. And so what's neat is by following documents, you don't necessarily have to get an email that says, oh my goodness, someone edited the document that you wrote 5 years ago. But by getting it in your feed, if you follow it, you can just be like, oh, hey, I didn't realize that Bob was going to edit that, but okay, maybe I should talk with him about that. And so I think it's a real neat way of having a passive way of being able to follow not just people, but to be able to follow information. And I think that that's really... It's small, it's a minute change, but it makes it so much more practical than just following people, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, and people will tell you that small change adds up over time. In the course of a day, when I can, even if I'm standing in line someplace and I can browse that news feed and feel like I'm caught up without actually having to click through a bunch of email, I still love email. I spend a tremendous amount of time in there, but it's being able to have them complement each other that for me makes it feel efficient. But it is a path. And I think what you said about our users is really, really important. And so, you know, and you teach as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I bet all of this makes it into the, do you do custom content for your customers, or do you teach in a
Both. So I started instructing because a lot of times as a custom developer, I'd build solutions for people and then I'd have to explain to them how to use it.
Right.
So I finally got to the point where I said, you know, why don't we do this in a more formalized manner?
You proved my old rule wrong, right? I used to say, never let the developer do the training.
Oh, really?
Right? Okay, now you're one I can say, no, unless it's Becky. She can go ahead and do that.
I try to break the mold.
That's a good thing.
You know what? Little known fact for everybody out there. I was a German and art history major in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I taught myself computers. And so I always say that it harkens back to the humanities in me.
The humanities education.
Yeah.
I had that too.
There you go.
It was very useful.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And, you know, being able to design the content, being able to invest in people's education, don't you feel like it makes the difference between their abilities to succeed and not? I see people sometimes cut those training budgets. What's your thought about that?
Oh my goodness, yeah. People, by nature, humans hate change, right? And I mean, people, if, I always say that, I mean, for years I've been saying this about SharePoint. There's some applications like email, okay? If you are on Lotus Notes and your company moves to Exchange, you really don't have a choice. When they say it's time to start using Outlook to check your email, gosh darn it, if you keep using your Lotus Notes application, you ain't going to get no mail, right? And so there's certain things that as an organization you can sort of use the stick to enforce, but SharePoint is not one of them. I've always said that it's if you build it, they will not come.
No, they will not.
Because if you don't form a more efficient way of doing the same process, people will continue to do what they have always done before. And so a big part about educating people is, as a company, you could have spent ridiculous amounts of money to build your SharePoint environment, but if you don't teach anybody how to use it effectively, it's going to sit there dormant, unused. All your money's going to be flushed down the toilet, and people are going to continue to email each other documents back and forth.
Exactly.
And that kind of thing.
Right. So if you want user adoption, you've got to have a great user experience, and then you have to train people, and you have to keep at it. It's not just sending. For me, and tell me if you think this is true, I think that it's important to send people through kind of a phased approach,
yes.
Because sometimes companies will just give you like 8 hours of training all at once, and then
people are overwhelmed.
It's overwhelming. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. And that's another thing that I see now. It's interesting. Is I think when SharePoint was new, there's a whole lot of what is SharePoint, and now there's a lot more of, you know, I'm taking over from the other guy that just left the company, and I need to fill in his shoes and what's going on here.
Right.
And just understanding what's new with SharePoint 2013 and understanding the app model and that kind of thing, because there is a lot that's significant. I think a lot of companies are going to be upgrading to 2013 in the near future or going to Office 365, and so it's important if you are doing custom development to understand. I thought Bill Clinton made such a great phrase today when he said, when we get uncomfortable, we all go back to what we know.
That's
and I
so
thought
true.
That was such a true statement. It's so easy to say, well, I know how to build a server-side code, so I'm just going to build sandbox solutions. And because if I'm the cloud, I can't put it on the server, but why don't I just write code and put it in a sandbox? It works, right? It takes a lot more work to say, you know what, we're going to be forward-thinking, and we're actually going to figure out how this app model works, and we're going to figure out to do things the right way, rather than just going back to, well, we've been doing it this way since SharePoint 2007, and we'll just chain platforms but do things the exact same way we've done. That's not going to help put you in a good position moving forward. So it's important to keep your people trained so that they know even what's available. I think one of the big problems I see a lot of times is if you sit down with clients, so say I'm in the IT department and I'm tasked with building a SharePoint site, I go to the business user and I say, so what do you want? Well, they don't know what SharePoint does. No. What they're going to say is whatever my last system did that was built 10 years ago, but I know what that does. So a lot of times it's just doing the education even to say, and even for developers, I say, you know what, SharePoint is like a tool about, you know, we got all these tools that are available to you, and you may look at all 12 tools that I've taught you in this class and decide you only need two, but at least now you know that you're using the right tools for the job. Those are the right two that you need. You know.
That's so important. That's a great perspective, and I think the more that we can all do to share that perspective, educate our customers, and be willing to be forward-thinking ourselves, we're going to drive more value. And I just know that people in St. Louis are lucky to have you everywhere around. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time out. This is SharePoint Conference Television. We're happy to have you with us. Please go out to Channel 9 and check out our other great content. It will be available soon after we shoot it. You can also follow us on Twitter. Check out the conference handle, which is SPConf, or our tag SPCTV. And you can find these great people who have been coming and making our little television show here a lot of fun. I'm Caruana Gattimu. Thanks for joining. Get out there and get busy.